So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Over 600 buildings, many homes, remain threatened by a huge wildfire in Northern California this morning that continues to burn out of control and which has already destroyed at least a dozen buildings. The Pawnee Fire burning at least 7,700 acres northwest of Sacramento. Low humidity and winds are helping to fuel that blaze. And in southwestern Colorado, the 416 fire continues near Durango. It could worsen this week, also because of the weather conditions. The top Senate Democrat, Chuck Schumer, saying the White House should put one person in charge of reunifying separated illegal immigrant kids and their parents.
I am here to urge that we appoint a czar in charge of the reunification process.
That, as President Trump says, illegal immigrants must be immediately deported with no judges or court cases. Actress Heather Locklear is back behind bars, arrested last night on battery charges after a disturbance at her home in Thousand Oaks. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Two firefighters and a civilian wounded in a shooting incident at a senior living facility in Southern California early today. Authorities say crews were called to the building in Long Beach after fire alarms went off, apparently because some windows in the building had been blown out by gunfire. Two firefighters and a civilian shot, with a firefighter left in critical condition, the other two in stable condition. A suspect was arrested. He's believed to be a resident of that facility, but the investigation continues. Secretary of Defense James Mattis makes another trip to the Indo-Pacific region, this one including a visit in China, as John Clemens reports.
After visiting two different Air Force bases in Alaska, Mr. Mattis will be visiting China, where the Pentagon tells us he'll be meeting with several senior officials to exchange strategic perspectives while discussing areas of mutual concern. This is the first visit of a Secretary of Defense to China since 2014. He then travels to South Korea, then concludes his trip June 29th in Tokyo.
And hundreds of fish are dead after bourbon and brandy from a distillery warehouse in Kentucky leaked into nearby streams after the warehouse collapsed. Kentucky's Department of Environmental Protection says not all the 9,000 barrels that rolled out from the warehouse leaked, but enough did to kill hundreds of fish. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat. You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for Flemington area. It's 75 outside our studios right now. Today, mostly sunny, high near 82, clear on the overnight, low in the 50s. Tuesday highs should reach near 80 again, and then the upper 50s Tuesday night. Clouding up a little bit, leading into a slight chance of showers on Wednesday. Otherwise, sunny, high near 81. Slight chance of showers Wednesday night. Maybe possible thunderstorm after 9 o'clock at night. Lows will be in the upper 60s. Continuing, Thursday showers and thunderstorms likely in the morning. Highs in the mid-80s. And then showers continuing Thursday night. clear on Friday, at least from here. A little sunny, high near 90. Low in the upper 60s Friday night. High again Saturday, near 93. Low around 70 at night, and then sunny on Sunday. So it looks like a good weekend coming up, at least from our vantage point here. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Greetings, everyone, from Flemington, WHCRDB, 100andchamberradio.com, Chef Bill's Table with Bill Kinslow here, your host, coming to you live on Mondays, Monday mornings, and thereafter on in our archives, and also on Rewind. Let's see what we have come out. 4th of July, obviously, big. I guess I call it a food holiday. We do our cookouts, celebrate our independence. I guess if you're looking at things that kind of unify the nation, we are a very diverse nation with our foodways and regional preferences, you know, depending on who settled here, right? And traditions that are passed down. It's one of the great things when so many talks about American cuisine, really regional. Like most countries, there's kind of an overall idea that you have, but really it's the geographic and climate regions that really dictate the food, plus the nature of the people that are there. Sometimes necessity breeds things, but they always say if what grows together goes together. So your combinations, whether it's foods, beverages, cooking methods, all have to do with our habitat, right? So something, I guess, that we think of with 4th of July is a cookout. It could be, you know, we use the terms barbecues and grilling and things like that, picnic. I mean, for me, the iconic foods that I think of is hot dogs and hamburgers, obviously, and all their variations. Fried chicken, always a nice idea, but most of us are going to be lighting up a grill, whether a charcoal or hardwood or gas grill. Even if you're inside, if wherever you are, it happens to be raining. I used to have a ceramic electric grill that I would use inside. It's really basically radiant heat cooking. It's all good, and and it moves it outside, too. It keeps the heat out of the house. You don't have to fire up your oven broiler. Those are, you know, that's tough to do in the summer. And, of course, cast iron pan, but that radiates a lot of heat into the air. So we like to cook outside. And it's midweek, though, and this year we celebrate the 4th, actually on the 4th, not on the Monday holiday bill, so most of us have to work the day before and the day after. And obviously essential services and the like will be working on the 4th of July. Yeah, stores might have sales. It's not, not so much the religious thing, but, you know, we do like to have the time off. If you're able to, we like to enjoy it. So the planning this week, though, of course, if you're working up till the day of and you have to go to, you can't stay out too late the night of. Of course, a lot of places do fireworks. The cookout and the simple cookout seems to be the norm. We're trying to plan our family get-together, and you always, of course, don't forget Jake's Chicken Tenders. We are closed on the 4th, but many people take them the day before, chilled, and they do reheat well. If you're going to turn the oven on, it's very low, 325, 350, you can always reheat them. We find it's a nice little snack to put out there. Oftentimes when we're cooking outside, I'll just kind of cook things in waves. It's not like you have to serve everybody at once. People are, you know, if you have a pool accessible, people are in the pool or they're talking in groups, and I don't mandate that everybody sit down and eat at the same time. Take a little break from that tradition. Just put food out, and fortunately the food, picnic food, does hold up well, either slightly warmer at room temperature. Although some people like the, you know, the burger hot off the grill, and that's fine. What usually you can do is either, if you're cooking in a batch, or you can even take orders if it's a small group. Pretend you're in a restaurant and take an order. What do you want on it? How do you want it done? Right? A little practice. So burgers and dogs, hot dogs still are one of the regional foods that don't, I mean, they can compete with national brands. Hot dogs, potato chips, and coffee. Those are the three that I think, you know, if you want to avoid the homogenization, and national brands have a place. If people want the consistency from one area to another, you have that favorite thing you look for, you know, Oscar Mayer Wieners. When you're a kid, that's what you like. You grow up and you say, oh, there's much more out there than that. But regional hot dogs, if you're doing hot dogs or any kind of sausages, even fresh sausages, if that's your thing, Central New York, where I'm from, obviously it's a, we have our snappy grillers up there, and we actually have the white hot dogs, which other parts of the country they may call them a bratwurst, although a bratwurst is really a little coarser grind. These are finely ground like the red hot dogs. They're made just with pork and veal. There's no nitrates in them. They're a little spice to them, but simply seasoned and natural casing. We call them conies. But if you see a coney in other parts of the country, it refers to a hot dog with the meat chili sauce on it, like a Coney Island. That's where I think it originated from. So you have to be mindful of where you are. But it's up in New England, you know, you got the red ones with the food coloring in them. You got the half smokes in Washington, D.C. You go further west, it ends up being more of a kielbasa type product at times. But every area, even out to the West Coast, everybody has their favorite blend of, whether it's the seasoning, whether it's the, you know, it's a natural casing, artificial casing, how long has it been smoked for. And now you can find hot dogs that are with no nitrates in them. The nitrite is what, the pink salt, the curing salt, is what gives it the color. Also is a good antibacterial agent. Preservative, which we don't need to use it as much as a preservative anymore, but it is there for flavor. But if you're, you know, kind of leery on that, you can get what we call uncured hot dogs, or simply use a freshly ground sausage that will not have that the nitrites in it. I like the color and the, I don't know, it's a visual thing. I mean, the white dogs are my favorite from Central New York, but the red ones, they make the regular hot dogs, are also good. But if you're doing do something regional, wherever you are, find a butcher, if you're metropolitan area in New York City, you know, the soubrettes are the big thing, but you can also Schaller Weber, if you're in the city, you know, they have a shop there. They send a lot of the smokehouses will send mail order also. So wherever you are, you can still get your favorite dog. And we get the Hoffmans from Central New York. Of course, we can get a Wegmans down here in New Jersey. But prior to that, I know one time I had a bunch of them shipped down here, or operating a rendition of the old Wiener King. And I had the Hoffmans shipped down here, figuring, oh, everybody will love these things. And, of course, got tamed right away on that. People here prefer either the Thumans or the soubrettes. So got a hard lesson in the regional loyalty to hot dogs. So if you're firing some up on the grill, or if you're doing the dirty water dogs, they are good grilled, though. And New Jersey, you've got the Italian hot dog. There's so many ways to top them. You have your canvas there of the sausage, you've got a good roll. New England, of course, the split top roll. Even Central New York, the hides there, they used a split top roll instead of the standard hot dog roll. Makes a little more sense if you're going to put a lot of toppings on, because it kind of nests in there. The roll doesn't split apart. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll look at some more 4th of July food. We're going to talk about the burger. Burgers are still, you know, it's just taken over the country. Every month somebody's opening a new kind of hamburger place or a food truck or some rendition of the hamburger. It's think how many ways can you do it? And but it is a, I don't know, I still like them. You know, it's one of those craveables you can have all the time. We'll be back in a couple of minutes at the table.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table here at Chef Bill's Table, Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, broadcasting from Flemington, New Jersey. So, hamburgers. What can we say? Again, there's grinding meat, of course, is a way to tenderize it. And although we love our steaks, whether grilling steaks or braising roasts, things like that, the quickest, easiest way to get our little beef fix, if you will, is to use ground meat. You can tenderize by roasting, by braising or cooking a long time, but mechanical tenderization, there's cubing, there's different ways to tenderize, break down the fibers there, but grinding is still, or chopping, more accurately is called chopping. If you look at a grinder with a knife in there, the blade, it's actually chopping the meat. You can do it by hand also. You know, when I first made steak tartare, which is kind of the ancestor of the hamburger, we don't cook it, and we would mince, usually tenderloin, something very lean, or even scrape it, so it's just very like a fine paste. But chopping it gives you a little bit more texture, and if you have the knife skills, a good sharp knife, and obviously not for too big a crowd, it'd be worth getting some nice high-quality meat and chopping your own. Food processor, very easy. We cut our meat into 1 to 1.5 inch cubes and chill them down well. Some people even like to put them in the freezer for a little bit, not so they're frozen, but they firm up easier to pulse in the food processor. Just 1 second bursts there, maybe 8 or 10 bursts, and you'll see your meat will be nicely chopped. You don't want it too fine. You don't want it to be a paste. And you're making a mousse. That's all. Then that's, of course, how you make a hot dog. You make kind of a more of a emulsion with that. But you want the meat cold because whether you're grinding or in the food processor, the creates a little bit of heat. You don't want the meat to get too warm. Keep it cold. You don't want the fat to start coming out of it. And we like to do that if you're really also concerned about quality. You have a better chance of controlling your quality. Now, you've got the blends that are out there. You'll see usually by percentage of fat. It'll say ground chuck, or if it's ground round, that indicates which primal it comes from. The round is always going to be leaner. The chuck, by nature, has about 60% fat. So obviously when butchers are grinding, they have to trim out some of the excess fat in the chuck. They just can't throw the whole piece in there, or blend it in with some leaner meat. You do want some fat in there. Now, to be called hamburger, the ground meat has to be at least 75% lean. And most people, ours, restaurant included, use an 80-20, 80% lean to 20% fat. You need a little bit of the fat in there, which some of it does cook out, but it helps keep everything moist and, of course, adds flavor. You get too lean a burger. I see guests with the, you order a buffalo burger, which is fairly lean, and then throw a bunch of cheese and mayonnaise on it. So I don't know what you're accomplishing there, but you're adding fat back into it anyway at some point. We still like that. Fat is good mouthfeel. Spreads flavor around, good for you. Especially if you're eating spicy things, you want some of that dairy fat, right? Some cheese or milk. Anyway, so you have your percent of fat. And 85% you could get by with if you want something a little bit leaner. And again, 90%, I mean, we'll use very lean meat for maybe if you're making taco meat or chili or something like that, that you're going to cook it for a long time. And if you do make some chili for your hot dogs, remember that it's not something that you cook just for a few minutes till the meat isn't red anymore, and then add your sauce and then bring it back to a boil. You really need to cook it. You want to, again, tenderize, even though it's ground or chopped meat. You want to cook it for a while, just like a nice Italian bolognese, and get the meat nice and tender. Now, the other things you'll see now are different blends from other primals. So your chuck sirloin mix, which is what we use at Jake's, kind of got the way the grind is too. It's ground. It has more the texture of a steak. We buy from a company that's all they do is make different blends of ground beef and then ground beef patties. They come in fresh. It's a New Jersey company, Schweid and Sons, and they've been in business for decades, and they decided, you know, we were an original butcher shop, and they decided, you know, we're just going to specialize in this one thing. So, very good source, and you'll see some of the well-known butchers will put their name, restaurants will put that butcher's name on the ground beef, even something as simple as hamburger. We now, you know, we like to know where our food's coming from, how it's been handled. You know, there have been enough problems out there and scares with you know, things not going well with the with some of the mass-produced things. So for my money, I like get something that's freshly ground, the packaged, prepackaged. I mean, if the store is grinding it, that's fine. When I was young and had to go get ground beef, it was in a tray in the refrigerator at the butcher shop. You could see it through the glass there, and there was a little spade in there, and it was all nice. It was loose. It was fluffy. It wasn't all compacted. And scoop it out, put it on the scale in a little cardboard container, and wrap it up in white paper, and you'd take it right home, and then we'd cook it. But you could see, you know, you had a grinder right there. You had the cuts of meat right there. You knew what you were getting. Now sometimes we have something sealed up with the modified atmospheric packaging. You don't know how long the meat's been ground. And it's not that it's bad. It's not that it's spoiled, because the with less oxygen in the packaging, of course, or if they're cryovac, there's no oxygen getting in there, and you're not going to have that breakdown, that oxidation. But still, if you know your butcher, especially, you know, for something like a party, or you're having guests over, you're going to do a burger, just make it the best you can do. So if you don't have a butcher, but even the store, make sure it's the freshly ground in the store, not something they bought from a commissary. You really want it fresh. So if you can't do your own from primal cuts, then make sure that it's ground in-house and something done that day. And normally the stores are good about it. They don't put too long a code date, you know, when they're grinding. Usually the stuff you see is recommended to be used by that day or the next day. You don't want something that says, oh, you can use this a week from now. That, I don't know. I don't know if that appeals to me. So we've got the grind, and we've got the primals. Now, the butchers, those special blends that I told you about with short rib and brisket in there, those two cuts have a different kind of fat in that it melts at a different temperature. So you've got fat that's in a meat or in a sausage. And, of course, you'll see if you're cooking it in a pan, you'll see the fat comes out of it, along with probably some water. Brisket fat, if you think about when you see a nice smoked or braised brisket, even though it's been cooking for hours and hours, when you slice the meat, you'll still see some fat in some of that in the cut. And it's still nice and juicy. You'll see it in corned beef. Corned beef's been cured and, you know, cooked for a long time. Whether it's sous vide or steamed, or if you have pastrami that's been smoked, but you'll still see some of the fat in there. And when you grind brisket into a ground beef blend, you're left with some of that. All the fat does not melt out, so you actually do get, you know, a little bit better yield as far as less shrinkage. But you have the flavor is in there from short rib and brisket. Now it seems, you know, it's kind of overkill putting that in there. And I always thought it was just it's just a way to get more money for a burger, but you know, I spoke with a certified Angus representative, butcher, and he explained, and we were looking at the different types of fat actually that are in the meat as far as their meltability. So keep that in mind. If you want to do something a little bit fancier, look for one of those special blends that's not just 100% chuck or sirloin, but maybe a couple of those other cuts in there. And there is a difference. I prefer Certified Angus, that's what we use at the restaurant, CAB. Look for that sticker on there. Those inspection standards are a little bit higher than as for quality grading. They're higher, more strict, I guess, for the grading standards than the USDA. USDA grades for quality. You see your choice and your prime and select and all that. What can be called, it's for the labeling, but the CAB or a specialty labeling consortium like that will make sure that there's even higher standards, so they take the top of the line. I like the flavor of Angus. It's a breed, and nicely enough, a prevalent breed. Most of our beef raised is Angus, but when you get that 100% that certified Angus in there, to me the meat has a buttery flavor, especially the steaks. Kobe Wagyu, that craze we did. Kobe burgers for a while. I found the texture of those to be very unique. The flavor was good. I actually prefer the Angus flavor to that, but if you want a treat, I mean, we've had Kobe hot dogs too. Very good treat. If you want something, get the quarter pounders. That's like a dinner-sized dog. But if Wagyu, American Wagyu, ground up, it seems, why can't I just add more fat to regular beef and get the same effect? But it's not so much that it's highly marbled, but there is a textural difference that's a little softer than regular ground beef, and if that's what you're looking for. I mean, very tender. You could say a hamburger. We like our steak grind because you get that little texture to it, but if you want that fine texture, the Kobe is the way to go. We've got to break for news here, and we'll be back at the table and talk about how to cook these bad boys. We've got our burger, we know what we're buying, and we've got it purchased, and now how do we treat it with respect? Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Following their recent ruling in the so-called wedding cake case, the Supreme Court is now giving a Washington State florist who refused to serve a gay wedding a new hearing. The High Court said it wouldn't hear the case of Arlene's Flowers or deny its owner's appeal outright, but the justices are asking Washington's Supreme Court to determine if the owner was treated fairly by state courts. The justice is sending the case back for, quote, further consideration in light of an earlier decision in favor of that Colorado baker, a case where the Supreme Court sided with the baker who'd refused to make a cake for a gay wedding. House Democrat Maxine Waters of California says at a rally on Sunday,
Mr. President, you need to be impeached.
And she says opponents of administration policies should harass any cabinet members and staffers they encounter out in public. This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Table here. Chef Bill's Table, WHCRDB Radio, 100andChamberRadio.com. So burger, so we've kind of figured out, you know, the quality level, whether we're going to grind it ourselves. Now we have to cook it. And, of course, we're thinking about cooking outside, grill with the grates, as we talked last week, previous show. The grate should be clean, hot, and do you want to keep a little bit of, you could use the vegetable spray. You've got to be careful spraying that into a fire. Usually a little a cloth with or a paper towel, if you like, with some little salad oil. That's enough to kind of rub on the grate there so the meat doesn't stick. You're making your patties. Don't overhandle the meat. a mold is the best way if you have a ring mold that is the size you want. Now, depending on your service, if you're serving just a burger as a main course, you know, we like, I mean, anywhere between 6 and 8 ounces is good. We use 8 ounce. I see some restaurants are going to a 7, some do a 10. That's a little bit much. I think the burger and the bun, the burger to bun ratio has to be correct also. You don't want all burger and no bun and vice versa. You don't want a big, huge roll with a little tiny beef patty in. So think of that too. If you're just serving a burger, if everybody's going to get one for a main dish, then you want to go with the larger ones. 4 to 5 ounce if you're serving other things. So the quarter pound, the 4 ounces is great. If you're doing sliders, of course, there'd be about 2 ounces. So the best way, of course, in proportioning them, you use a scale to get the correct amount of ounces, or you could use a scoop, you could use a ramekin, anything, or, a coffee cup, whatever is the size that you want to determine that. And then that'll give you a consistency. You really want them to be the same, similar thickness. And, of course, the size has to fit the bun. If you like your burgers a little bit less than well done, you want to make them a little bit thicker so they will cook like a steak. And once they're formed, keep them well chilled. I know for some cuts of meat and things, other things you're cooking, some people, get the, bring the meat up to room temperature, but the burgers you want chilled, plus, safety reasons, but they're easier to handle. You want them chilled. Again, don't play with them too much. You just want to compact them lightly, press them into a mold, or if you don't have a mold, you just kind of freeform them. I'll use the side of a knife just to kind of spin the meat and move it around on the cutting board and just kind of make the size patty you want. Again, match it up to the roll. Seasoning, if you want to put seasoning in the meat prior to shaping them, that's fine. Usually we like just a little salt, or if you like a steak seasoning on them, that's fine too, but you just really need salt to put them on the grill. Some of us like to maybe put some onions in there, grated onion or sauteed onion. I see a place now is putting in like a mushroom duck cell, finely ground cooked mushrooms to kind of, it stretches out, it gives you a little bit less of the saturated fats, things like that. Makes for a kind of a leaner but tasty burger. If you like mushrooms, not a bad way to go. But then is it really a burger, or are you making more of a sausage? I used to do that with sausages, put a little mushroom or something else in there. Nothing wrong with that, but is it a burger? Again, to be called a hamburger, it's got to be at least 75% fat. If not, then you got to call it something else because it's not legally a hamburger. Now, cooking, two schools of thought. Do you do the flat pan? Do you do the open grill? We charbroil ours at Jake's, which means the radiant heat's coming from underneath. Of course, heat's the grate. We've got the charcoal briquettes in there, gas fired. It's not hardwood briquettes. They're the permanent rocks, but you still get that little bit of flare up from the base. You still get that the charred flavor from the grates. Makes the marks on the burger. If you do it on a flat grill, cast iron pan, even if you have your grill outside, you can still get a flat sheet that can go over the burners and do them that way. Advantage to that is you get the nice caramelization in the sear. I will grant you that. On the open grill or broiler, you get your nice marks on there. You've got a little bit different flavor again because of the fat flare up, the juices dripping. They're two different things. You can get the best of both by starting them on the flat griddle, which some steakhouses do. You'll sear the meat on a flat griddle or a comal, plancha, there's different words for it now, and then transfer them to the char grill for finishing. We'll do that with pork chops, we'll do it with strip steaks, things like that. We'll start them in cast iron to get the nice caramelization on them and then transfer them over to the open grill to finish them off. You've got a little more of the radiant heat, a little bit quicker than just doing it in the pan. So you need to decide how you want to cook them. But when we cook them, and you hear, you know, people say, well, you know, you got to sear them and leave them on, you know, the side for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes and then only flip them once. Well, and you see what happens. When you do that, whether you're doing it on the grill or the pan, is I call it, they start to meatball on you. They kind of puff up a little bit. You'll see some chefs will say, well, make a little depression in the center. You know, it's not a donut, it's a hamburger. Never had to do that. And all of a sudden, you know, to keep it from puffing up, well, really, you just turn it. And I'm a roast cook from way back, and I like rotisseries. I like turning early and all, I say often, meaning you're not constantly flipping, but if you're flipping it, you're turning it a couple of times. I like the more even cooking. Instead of just cooking a lot on one side and flipping it over, you know, and it's curled up, so now it's not sitting flat. And whether it's a burger or a steak, you're going to have the similar problems. So as soon as, you know, after a couple of minutes, once you've got that sear on there, this is why your grate has to be clean and oiled. As soon as you can lift that off the grate, you want to give it that quarter turn. First of all, it's, you know, it's attractive, right? And you get more even grill marks on there. You don't want them sitting in one place and then burning too much. You want to keep the meat from burning because you are making contact with, you know, very hot grates there. Also, when you're turning, make sure if you're using any base or anything like that, if you turn it back in the same spot it was, it's not going to mark as nicely. You turn it onto a fresh spot. I know for early on doing, a Pittsburgh-style steak, where you want it black and blue. You want it, you know, it's dark on the outside and still raw in the middle. And that's difficult. You know, you do it, we've done it with burgers. You've got to kind of make them pretty thick. We'll brush them with whole butter to get that little more char on there in the pan. But when you turn the, when you do those kind of steaks, you don't just leave them on one side for a long time. You turn them as soon as you can, and you're either going to keep turning them. You're always turning the steak onto a fresh, hot surface. So if you have a pan, you're doing from one side of the pan to the other. You'll see chefs when they're basting seafood or chicken breasts or even a steak that's in a pan, you'll see the steak kind of, the pan will be kind of tipped forward, and they're taking the spoon and basting the hot fat over, and it's just sizzling. So it's not really cooking the inside of the product more. It's just kind of charring up or caramelizing the outside. And that's why, you know, once you flip the burger, flip it onto a fresh spot. So I guess when you're loading up the grill, don't load it full, load it half full. And what you'll do is you'll take your burgers, say you've got room for 12 on there. Well, I'm only going to put 6. Take 6 burgers, when you flip them onto the clean side, and then you take your brush real quickly on to where your burgers you just flipped from, brush it, and then let that heat up a little bit, and then start the second batch. So you get even marks. You've got always after you're flipping, you're not flipping it back onto a grate that's probably not as hot. Because you'll notice that the first side, call it the presentation side, it always looks nice, and then you flip it over, and it's not so much. The meat's not really searing. It's kind of boiling. And to avoid that, flip it into a fresh spot. And by flipping early, you keep it from scrunching up, so you get a little bit more even cooking. And don't press the burgers. I mean, you'll see the shows, sometimes the sliders, some places, oh, I want that nice crispy out exterior. And that's well and good. I mean, there's nothing wrong if you've got a good, nice fatty hamburger there. Sometimes that's the way to go, if that's the texture and the taste you want. But they're going to be well done. Sliders, you know, little 2-ounce ones, people might prefer those well done. And then it's more about what your toppers are going to be, which is kind of cool. And sliders are great, especially if you're serving a variety of foods. That way nobody's eating a huge hamburger. You got a little taste of the meat. You know, I mean, the ideal thing would be some chicken, some sliders, and some dogs, or even some speedies, little skewered meats if you're from Southern Tier. So we're cooking our burger. You want medium rare. What happens is when you're cooking burgers, just like when you're cooking other proteins, you'll see when you have your first side down, you'll start to see the texture will start to change on the meat. It'll look like it's actually driving some moisture to the top. So you see that start to happen. That's when you turn it, and then when you'll see a little bit of red poking out from the top again, that's when your burger is rare. And at that point, you know, touch it with your finger, feel the texture there, and that's when I would move the burger to a slow it down a little bit. You'll turn it maybe two more times, and as it cooks, it's going to firm up. You don't really want to press it. You don't want to poke into it, and also letting them rest. If they're medium rare, they rest a little bit. They'll, with the carryover cooking, trust me, they'll cook to a, they'll go to a pink medium pretty quickly. And I know in our restaurants, we have so many temperatures for meat. People say, I want medium rare on the rare side. I want medium to medium. There's so many in-betweens. But basically, most people like their burgers fairly done. And medium to medium well. A little pink is nice. Well done, if you're doing that. Again, don't char it too much. Just move it to a slower, you know, slow it down and let it cook through. Don't press it because you just press all the juice out of it. You can always, if you're doing it for a crowd, you can always what we call stage the burgers. In other words, get them seared and set aside in a pan. And they're resting, you know, continuing to, you know, warm up a little bit. And then you can flash them for a couple of minutes at the end when you're finishing, whether you're melting cheese or, you know, serving them up to people. Staging them is a good way, again, in restaurants that do a volume like that. That's what happens, especially on a flat grill. I know we did it in the beginning at Jake's. We used to have one part of the grill that was a little cooler. One was blazing hot. And we'd get them seared and either put them aside to the cooler spot, and as orders came in, then you'd finish them off. It expedites service a little bit better. So that's another thing you can do, is get them seared and set them aside. You're not going to leave them out too long, obviously, at that temperature. You want to finish cooking them, but if you have a crowd to cook for, it might that technique might help out. We've got to break for a couple of messages and then finish up here with something else. So we got to, yeah, maybe got to talk about potatoes, something to go with our burgers and dogs. Chef Bill's Table.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at the table, Chef Bill's table here, 100andchamberradio.com, WHCRDB, located in the chamber office, beautiful downtown Flemington, New Jersey. So burgers, dogs, hot dogs, cooking them again. Hot dogs are a cooked product already, so you really don't want to abuse them too much, although in New Jersey there's the deep-fried rippers, they're all charred up. I know one of, when I was young, one diner started, I think it's probably more a West Coast type thing at the time. So you have your hot dog and split the dog, put a little bit of cheese in the middle, and then wrap them in bacon. And that's, that was just the be-all and end-all, right? A bacon-wrapped hot dog. And you'll see varieties like that, different, there's almost, you know, no end to what you can do. I mean, again, you know, cities have the different toppings. You know, Chicago, the Sonoran dog, they got corn dogs, the Hawaiian puka dog, I guess it is, that special bread that they make. When you think of it, the dog is like a classic saucisson en croûte, if you're looking to the French, sausage in a pastry, and we have the pigs in the blanket. So, you know, it's really... You can tell it's popular food. Speedy's would be another thing I'd recommend if you want something quick. Southern Tier, New York State, probably originally made with lamb. It's basically meat cubes or chicken. And I would like the thighs for that, although you can use the breast, but thighs are better. They're in a marinade that you could probably get away with an Italian dressing. You want something that... not really any sugar in it. You want a good one, or make your own. Or it's red wine vinegar, olive oil, basically parsley, garlic, mint, black pepper, salt. It's a little heavier on the vinegar than or you could add some lemon juice also. You're trying to marinate the meat, and actually this is where marinating is tenderizing that acid from the vinegar. And you could do 24 hours, you could do even longer. Chicken, not so much. It might break down too easily, but definitely your beef, lamb, cubes, pork, tenderloin, you know, easy. Put them on skewers, and then you can just thread them on skewers, grill the meats, and you could have them on a salad. You could have them on rice, slide them into a hot dog or a French roll, or traditionally they were just thin slices of bread, and you just grab a piece of meat off the skewer with the bread. You may want to save some of the marinade for a dipping sauce. If you do that, make sure it's not the stuff you marinated the meat in. Either save some, or if you're going to use stuff from the meat, then you have to bring it to a boil. Usually best to make a big batch of marinade and save some on the side. Potatoes, another regional thing. Potato chips, I mentioned earlier, local potato chips, always a good idea. But if you're doing potatoes for your cookout, salt potatoes, again, from Syracuse, that's our favorite. I guess you could simply call it almost like a boiled French fry. That's where you cook the potatoes in a salt brine. And the stores up there, you can get your good new potatoes, small potatoes. I'll use them at the restaurant. We do a Yukon bee size. And you make a brine. And this brine should be the salt the salinity of basically like ocean water. The cold spring up in near Syracuse, the water that came up from there had that salinity to it. So you, when you boil this water, it's like cooking in seawater. Higher boiling point. The more salt you have in there, when you add salt or sugar to water, it's going to raise the boiling point. So you bring the water to boil. Normally when you're cooking a potato, you would start with cold water, just like you do with an egg. You want it to cook evenly. But with the salt potatoes, the idea is you bring the brine to a boil, and then you drop the potatoes in, and the potatoes are not going to absorb that salt. You're going to see a little white, you should see a white crust on the outside of the potatoes when they're done and removed from the water, but they are cooking at a little higher temperature than boiling, so they are a different texture inside, a little creamier texture. Not quite as, you know, not fluffy like a baked potato, but pretty good. And the salt, as I say, just stays on the outside. It's not being absorbed. Whereas if you started with a salt brine and from cold water, then the potatoes would absorb the salt. If you're doing a potato salad, of course, again, you know, if you use a waxy potato, we always like the nice eastern potatoes. Yukons are okay, but, you know, a nice, what they call a chef potato. The waxy potatoes, great if you're doing a vinaigrette or a mustard-type dressing. I prefer the other ones. If you're doing a mayonnaise type, I like it to absorb. The red skin potatoes seem to be, they don't, well, they're waxy. They don't really soak up that mayonnaise too well. It kind of slides off. And a lot of places, you know, a lot of people use sour cream and dress them like that. I mean, fine if that's your preference, but I find the red skins would be better in a vinaigrette, like a potato, green bean, tomato salad, or of a mustard or a German-type potato salad. That's when you'd want the waxy potatoes. So here's hoping that you have a good day on the 4th, and the food
will be simple.
Hopefully it won't stress out too much, but iconic American food. Not, I think you get your preparation done ahead of time. Mainly, like we talked today, is technique, shopping. You know, hot dogs and hamburgers seem like it's simple, but don't settle. Make sure you go for the quality. Same quality that you would pick for, you know, any fancy roast you were doing. And you will be rewarded. You'll see the difference. Take care of fresh hamburger, good regional hot dogs. Creative toppings, good rolls. Sometimes the simplest things may take a little bit more attention. So Chef Bill's signing off because we've got to hit the road, and we'll be on the road next week, so we won't be broadcasting live. We'll do a rewind from now, maybe from last year about this time. So we've got to head out. Thanks for listening. Chef Bill's Table.
Can you show me the shine of your Japan? Sparkle of your China. Can you show me what
the news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
First Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen has her dinner interrupted by Trump administration opponents in New York City. Then over the weekend, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says she was thrown out of a restaurant in Virginia because she works for President Trump. Now, U.S. House Democrat Maxine Waters of California is applauding those responsible.
If you see anybody
money from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store. You get out and you create a crowd, and you tell them they're not welcome.
Waters also calling at that rally against Trump administration immigration policy for the president to be impeached. Just getting word that reality TV star Richard Harrison, famously known as the old man on History Channel's Pawn Stars, has died today. His son Rick Harrison confirming that his father passed at 77. And this is USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to where I want it to be.
Same here. I've got to lose some weight before we go.
Plus, I know you're going to want to post pictures from the trip all over Facebook.
Well, why don't you guys try Calitrin?
Calitrin? That sounds really familiar.
It's